This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Cyberspace, cybercrime, the strategic environment in the most recent issue from NATO following their meeting in Madrid concerns itself, yes, with conventional war, yes, with nuclear threats, yes, with missiles, but this, authoritarian actors challenge our interests, values, and democratic way of life, writes NATO. They conduct malicious activities in cyberspace and space, promote disinformation campaigns, instrumentalize migration, manipulate energy supplies, and employ economic coercion. These actors are also at the forefront of a deliberate effort to undermine multilateral norms and institutions and promote authoritarian models of governance. I welcome Annie Fixler of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy to help me put this very straightforward and bold statement from NATO together with an observation that I've been guided to by FTD most recently, that in the Ukraine conflict, this army of malicious actors, especially from the Russian Federation, has either not shown up or where are they? Annie, a very good day to you. Thank you. There is a puzzle. It's hard to see the dog that's not barking, but there it is. Where are the bad actors we were led to believe for decades, and certainly most recently in this last decade, that Russia was going to unleash as part of its offensive weapon? Good evening to you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you. It has been very interesting to watch how the situation in Ukraine has unfolded. And there's been a lot of conversation about the lack of cyber operations. It's just been a surprise. I would say in those first days, I myself was expecting something really significant, and I was worried about that. We have seen long-term Russian activity, which is, I think, some of what NATO is talking about, long-term disinformation, long-term cyber threat. But in the immediacy of the invasion, we didn't see as much as we predicted. And that's been very interesting to try to parse apart. Why not? It's a difficult question to answer why you don't see something, but there are a number of theories about why we haven't seen the full force of Russian cyber capabilities unleashed in Ukraine.
Let's entertain some of these theories, because this is an ongoing conflict. It could still happen, and we don't have everything. But first of all, let's start with Ukraine. Good defenses. We have a lot of Ukrainian geniuses who are on the internet all the time. I watch them. Some of them have founded cybersecurity companies in the United States, very prominent. So do we credit Ukraine?
In part, yeah, we really do. I myself was surprised about that as well. There were theories in the early days, you know, Ukraine is just better at defense than we thought. And I'll admit, I was pretty dismissive. I generally think that defenders, as good as they are, they've got a constant uphill battle, and that it's likely not defense. I thought it was we were not seeing the offense. But in fact, I was wrong. And it is that Ukraine has been better at defense than we all expected. I was struck by a comment from National Cyber Director Chris Inglis, who said the Ukrainians are actually really good at cyber defense, and they've been training over the past 8 years because of what Russia has been doing since 2014, 2015, 2016. And so there is a real resiliency mindset and a public-private collaboration and a speed at which Ukraine has been able to fix things or identify malicious activity before something has happened. And that has been very impressive and very important. So there were early, I remember a number of stories early on about identification of malware before it launched in across Ukrainian government networks. There were what's called wiper malware that would have just destroyed data. And defenders were able to identify that and root it out before problems ensued. So it actually, a lot of the credit does come to being good at defense, and that's been important.
Another suspect would be Russia. Are they only 3 feet tall and not 10 feet tall? Is that a revelation? That's certainly an observation with regard their kinetic energy forces, those tanks that just never moved.
I worry always about underestimating the adversary. So we haven't seen it. I think more because they haven't been focused on it and they're the best of the best or otherwise occupied. I think what we saw in Solar Winds, which was an operation, a long-term operation, multi-years in the making, that penetrated deep into the software development creation, the software development lifecycle, was able to implant malware, which then was used across the U.S. government. The fact that they were able to do that shows a real level of sophistication. So I wouldn't say that they aren't capable. I suspect that those best of the best attackers were focused elsewhere, that they may have been focused on espionage activities or other activities like that, as opposed to launching destructive cyber attacks, maybe for two reasons. One, that they may not have been, like we all predicted that this might end very quickly and very badly for Ukraine. So the cyber operators might have been operating under the same expectations, and so their services weren't necessary. And I also think, I always say, if you are going to destroy some critical infrastructure in a military operation, it's a lot easier just to hit it with a missile. So if you're going to destroy it anyway, why do a complicated cyber attack when you can just launch a missile? Maybe one of those two reasons as well.
Communication. A major concern for all of us now is staying on the internet. Early in the war, my presumption was it'll go down. They'll be cut off. They have to have a plan B. And then along comes Starlink and Elon Musk. Now, it was a headline, and it was a lot of good publicity. And Starlink deserves it. I have a Starlink system. It works perfectly. But was it exaggerated? Did it actually contribute to Ukraine's ability to withstand attacks?
I believe yes. The credit is real to Starlink and to its ability to quickly enhance satellite broadband access for Ukrainian operations. In the early days, sort of right before Russia launched an invasion, in fact, I believe it was a day before, they did launch a very significant, very sizable attack on Viasat, so satellite communications. And it did disable modems. It took down internet access. And it actually cascaded across Europe. It didn't just stay within Ukraine. Secretary of State Tony Blinken noted that the goal of it was to disrupt Ukrainian command and control during the invasion. So they did actually launch that attack. I think what we didn't see all of the effects because of how quickly there was able to switch over to Starlink, and that gave the Ukrainians a significant amount of resilience to withstand a significant Russian assault. So we did see it. We just didn't see the effects because of resilience, which is important. So that alternative system gave the Ukrainians the ability to withstand.
We have about a minute, Annie. Lessons learned so far. The conflict continues. What strikes you as the most revelatory?
In the most immediate, see the importance of the public-private collaboration, the importance of that quick action, quick defense, responsiveness, resilience has played. I think we cannot underestimate that. And that is the most important lesson learned for the future, is to build upon that success, learn those lessons, implement that here at home.
Annie Fixler at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. She is the Deputy Director of the CCTI. This is to withstand and to study cyber attacks in future. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.